For folks who grew up on the internet, Scott Herman's workout videos inspired a whole generation of people to lift weights and live their best life. After his 2009 appearance on MTV's Real World Brooklyn, Scott became a sensation for not just being another pretty face on TV, but for his friendship with transgender castmate Caitlin Cusinelli.
Scott's no-nonsense approach to working out has made him one of the top fitness video bloggers of all time. With over 2 million subscribers on YouTube alone, and he now runs the widely popular Muscular Strength website and app. Today, fitness icon Scott Herman joins us to talk about his decade making workout videos and being an LGBTQ ally.
Plus, how Captain America inspired Scott and many people like him to develop their mind and body.
And the most important workout video Scott's ever made. Watch it on our website, feastoffun.com.
I'm Fausto Fernos.
I'm Mark Fillion.
And this is Feast of Fun. Surprise!
What did you think you were getting?
Feast of Fun is made possible because of the support of fierce, fabulous people like you. Become a member and listen to 14 years of amazing podcasts at feastoffun.com/plus. Or put a tip in our tip jar and make a one-time donation at feastoffun.com/donate. Thank you for your support.
Hey, what's up, man?
Scott Herman Fitness.
Yeah, what's up, bro? It's been a while.
Hi, Scott. It's Fausto.
And Mark from Feast of Fun. How you been?
I've been good, guys. It's been a long time.
You know, I was looking at photos of you from MTV's Real World Brooklyn and comparing them to how you look like on Instagram today, and you haven't aged a day. You've only gotten bigger.
It's not easy, but, you know, Fountain of Youth is real.
It's really remarkable that you've grown this YouTube video blogging business into a fitness empire.
Yeah, man. I mean, I live in Florida now. I have my dream house. I have my gym in my house. I live a life where I have to work hard, but I'm able to enjoy a lot more things, even like just throughout the day. I can take a break when I want to. It's sunny outside. I can drive my Camaro all year long. I'm starting pool construction soon. So pretty soon I'll be able to sip water and just kind of create content out by the pool, which I'm really excited about. It's been a really interesting ride. Let's put it that way.
Well, and I wanted to talk to a lot of the people that throughout our career as podcasters this week that have inspired us into fitness. And I can't think of anybody who's done more for more people than you with your videos on YouTube.
Oh, thanks, man. Yeah, I mean, that's why I keep at it. I see a lot of the people, you know, when I go to events and I do shows and, you know, like, oh, I've been watching your videos for 8 years, 10 years. Even my local gym that I go to an LA Fitness. I meet people all the time who go to the gym, who've been watching my videos for, you know, since they were in high school or college. And they're like, you helped me with proper form. I know how to lift because of you. And I think that's awesome. I think that's...
And now they're bigger than you.
Yeah, exactly. Now they're all bigger than me, too.
And you're like, wait a minute. I'm giving too much good advice out there.
Yeah, and some people, they're like... I mean, I've grown even since we... I think when we first talked, even during the Real World, that was about 162 pounds or 63. And I'm a solid, like, 185 now. But I feel like you don't really see that in photos. It's more in person. I've actually met a few people in my gym. They're like, wow, you're a lot bigger in person. I was like, well, I guess you have nothing really to compare me to.
Well, cause you don't use a fisheye lens when you work out.
Like what's his,
like, yeah. Reagan Grimes does.
Yeah, it must be. And also too, like, I never really had the opportunity to collab with a lot of people back in Boston. So, you know, if I were to collab, I feel like with other guys in the industry, a lot more. What I'm trying to do now that I'm in Florida, you'd be able to, you know, see how I compare to someone who you maybe you've met and you know how big they are, then they see me. Like, actually, I did a collab with this guy, Muscle Monster. His name is Align. And he was like, wow, dude, I thought you were my size. I'm like, no, I'm bigger than you.
Oh, wow. So you're like a Hulk in disguise.
Yeah. I just try to, you know, hide it so that people aren't afraid of me.
So you're not going to wear like a spaghetti top with your nipples poking out and be like,
no.
When you were on MTV's Real World, you really captured the imagination of many young Americans with your close friendship with the show's first openly transgender contestant, Caitlin Cusinelli.
Yeah. Yeah. Caitlin and I got along real well.
So how are you guys all doing? Have you kept up your friendship a decade later?
Yeah, we all talk to each other every now and again. I talk to Chet probably the most out of everyone. Caitlin is pretty much back to, like, I would say, civilian life. She has her job. I think it's computer engineering. She works in IT. You know, after the show, she did a lot of college speaking engagements, and, you know, she did a whole circuit and tour.
Those pay really well.
Yeah, they do. Mm-hmm. But I feel like after, you know, a few years, they try to move on to newer castmates. So I don't think she's been doing them as much.
Mm-hmm. We had a guest of the podcast. She said, well, I get about $3,000 a speaking gig at colleges, and I do about 100 a year. And I was like,
Yeah, it's like, girl, she could buy how many Ford Camaros can you get her?
Well, they don't make a Ford Camaro, so zero.
I don't know much about cars, but in terms of, you know, like transgender visibility, when you were speaking out as an ally, as an advocate for transgender people and for queer people out there in the internet, it was kind of an unusual thing to do, wasn't it?
Oh, yeah, it was very unusual. And at the end of the day, people have to understand that just anybody being oppressed or picked on or victimized just really rubs me the wrong way. I feel like I kind of latched on to it so much because I didn't even realize how bad it was. I mean, I was living in New Hampshire. I didn't even know you could be transgender. I thought Ryan and Chet were busting my balls. And I just didn't realize how ignorant I was. Uh-huh. After hearing her story and all the stuff she went through and was still going through, and, you know, even on the show, at some clubs, you know, we had a few instances where some dudes were talking shit and me and Chet, you know, kind of got in their face. I just decided to take a stand because she was my friend and I didn't like what I was seeing.
When did you first hit it off with Caitlin? When did you realize she was still going to be a friend of yours?
In the very beginning of the show, I met her at the airport. I just thought she was a cool girl who liked comic books and nunchucks. And people say, like, oh, like, they'll call you gay and a fag and all that stuff, and they expect you to get upset about it. Like, even now, like, I just signed with this clothing company called Jed North. They make really cool gym clothes. You guys probably have seen them in my most recent Instagram posts. They make a few different t-shirts that are maybe a little more progressive for the average person. And it's not like they're anything crazy. They're just a little longer. You know, they go to about mid-thigh and they have like an undercut. And then they have capped sleeves, where it's like, instead of the sleeve cutting at the bottom of the shoulder, it kind of cuts in the middle of the shoulder. And it's really cool because it makes your arms look huge, right?
Oh, there's that accent.
Oh,
yeah, there it is.
I was kind of like, wait a second, what happened to his accent? And then
just didn't say the right word yet, you know?
Yeah.
But dude, like, I posted this photo like last week because I was in Toronto and I thought I looked great. I had like my Louis Vuitton boots on. My wife calls it a man purse, but I call it a man backpack. So man pack, Mac. Anyways, and I have on this t-shirt and I never got so many gay fag, you're gay, a Scott gay comments in my life on this one photo. Granted, the likes are higher than average too, which is kind of funny seeing all the hate comments and then that, which just tells you that people secretly hate, but really want to they just think they can't pull the look off. So they don't buy it, so they hate on it. But, you know, me and my wife laugh about it. And I'm like, these people really think I care if they call me gay. Like, do you think it's going to bother me? Like, if you really think that wearing a certain piece of clothing makes you gay, then you got some internal issues that you need to deal with. because it sounds like you're having a hard time struggling with your own sexuality at that point. Kind of reminds me of that episode of South Park when all the dudes go Metro. Have you guys seen that one?
Oh, yeah.
With the crab people.
Yeah.
He's like, Mr. Garrison goes to the bar and he's like, sees everybody dressed. And he's like, you guys want to come back to my place and pound Mr. Slave? They're like, no, we're not gay, Mr. Garrison. He's like, those pants say you're gay.
Well, I remember very clearly a photo of you. I guess you were wearing this red suit and you described it as your Zoolander pose.
Oh, yeah. From Milan Bertin.
Yeah. You were doing a fashion runway design, you know, modeling clothes. And part of it is like, you know, you've always had such a playful, wonderful attitude with your own sexual identity and your willingness to be goofy. And I imagine now that you and Eric are married, if you had a child and that child came out to you as transgender or gay or bisexual, what would you say to them?
I mean, I have my stepdaughter. I've been, mm-hmm. you know, in her life since she was 12. You just need to show your kids support, but you also still need to be a parent too. Like, I know there's a lot of controversy that's talked about in the news, especially with Mario Lopez, when he was like, you can't be letting your kid decide if they're a boy or a girl when they're 4 years old or, you know, something like that. And I do agree with that. It's like, there needs to be some guidance as a parent, and you need to be a parent in terms of like, listen, you're just a kid. Let's grow up. Let's learn more about life, be supportive and talk and keep the relationship open with your child. But I also don't think you should let your child just make decisions on their own, which is why they are still a child. I don't know how you guys feel about that. Like, you wouldn't just let your kid 4, 5, 6 years old go out and just start, you know, playing outside by themselves all alone. But you're going to let them make a decision that's going to affect them their entire life when they don't even know about life yet. Anyways, I know he got a lot of flack mm-hmm. for that, which is to be expected. He lives out in California.
And now you're going to get flack for it.
Yeah, exactly. I'm going to get flack for it, too.
No, but see, the thing about it is, if my child came to me and said, the gender that I was assigned to at birth doesn't ring true for me at any age, I would really listen to them and take that seriously
and talk
about
it
and make a plan together to do something that works best in their interests. Considering so many children develop their gender identities as young as 3 years old, we really need to listen to our trans children very seriously.
Oh, I agree with you 100%.
I work in with a lot of parents and kids sometimes, and I see the parents are just like, oh, honey, whatever you want. You know, you want me to buy you that? Oh, sure, honey. You know, and part of it is like the mistake that I see parents making today is that they're not letting that child make the mistakes by themselves. And like Mr. Rogers, what I always talk about is, you know, mistakes are so important because that's the only way we learn.
Oh, yeah, 100%. And it's like, but now, like, I feel like, I mean, kind of talking about what you just said.
Being transgender is not a mistake. That's just the way things are. But I'm talking about mistakes in, you know, in the choices you make in your life. It's important to give your child the ability to grow.
Yeah, and I agree with you. But I also mm-hmm. feel like as a parent, you also need to be like, hey, You need to instill values in them that you are an authoritative figure in their life and not just give them everything no matter what it is. Like you said, like, oh, anything you want. It's like, no, I said, no, you're not getting it. And I agree with you where if your child came to you and said that, you should not avoid the topic. You should definitely talk about it. But I like what you said. You should make a plan. I mean, I don't have a lot of experience in making that plan. I'd probably have to call you for some help. But at least if there's a plan to make sure it's the right decision, then yeah, of course. Like you need to listen to your kid because that could be something that bothers them their entire life. You know, a lot of people have committed suicide because they feel like they've been assigned the wrong gender at birth and nobody understands them and they feel left out. So these are all very serious things that need to be talked about. I just feel like we also live in a society where people will do anything for attention, and you have to keep that in mind as a parent. Is my kid saying this because it's real, or are they just saying it because they want attention because nobody pays attention to them? And that's your job as a parent to figure out. That's not a psychiatrist's job. You need them to get to know your kids and be an active participant in their life.
As a kid, did you do any unusual things to get attention?
Oh, that's just the thing, Fausto. I was very introverted. So I played like a lot of video games and read comic books. And I didn't really do a lot for attention because I'd rather just be left alone and play my games and read my comics and ride my bike.
Well, when you were really young, you pulled your dad's weight set out of the garage and you're like, hey, Pop, I know you're not lifting weights, but can you show me how to use this?
Yeah, well, to be honest, my dad didn't even really show me how to use it. I just went and found it on my own. I was always a very, it's best, like, I didn't ask for a lot of help as a kid. I was always very curious and I wanted to figure things out on my own, you know, even to the point, even with my wife now, we'll get into arguments because she'll tell me how to do something and I'll just ignore her. And then I'll finally realize she's right and then I have to apologize. Mm. But I'm just very stubborn in that aspect.
Well, and at the age of 14, you started working at a local Gold's Gym for 3 hours every weekend just to get a free membership.
Yeah, I mean, the gym was probably the best thing that happened to me as a kid because, I mean, I started working out in general because I was just angry. I was getting bullied at school. I had a lot of friends, but my friends were, you know, not going to step up for me and you know, protect me from anything. And my older brother, I could always beat him up because he was smaller than me, but his friends were ruthless. My older brother was like the mental warfare, which is probably the worst part of it. Mm. I'd rather get like punched in the face than be mentally torn down.
Anyways, how many brothers and sisters do you have?
I have 4 brothers and 2 sisters, but I'm the second oldest out of everybody.
Oh, wow. So you've always been herding the pack, kind of like Captain America. You're just trying to get people to do stuff.
Well, that's why I kind of gravitated towards Captain America and Superman as a kid, because I started to realize nobody was going to, like, because I said I read comics all the time. And in comics, when someone was in trouble, somebody came to help them. And in my case, nobody was helping me. And I just kind of had a realization, like, the only person that's going to help me is me. And then I'll be able to help other people who feel victimized or the same way as me if I get bigger and stronger. And that's why I pulled the weight set out. You know, I had a determination and goal to better myself, to be able to protect myself and the people I care about.
Do you remember the first time that you started lifting weights and people started noticing as a teenager that you were stronger than the average teenager?
I remember because I wrestled as a kid in high school. Mm-hmm. And I was an okay wrestler. Basically we had like 13 New England champions on our team. Like our sports department at Salem High School in New Hampshire, all 4 years while I was in high school, like we were class L champs, New England champs in almost every category: baseball, football, basketball, women's volleyball, women's basketball, wrestling. Like it was insane how many trophies and champions were won in those 4 years. So there was always a lot of really good competitive athletes. And on the wrestling team, a lot of the kids that were in my age and in my grade, you know, I never really fit in with them because they were the popular kids, and they could beat me in wrestling, but they would get so pissed because of how strong I was. So like, I remember one time I was wrestling this kid, Matt, and he was trying to put me in like all these different advanced, you know, techniques to pin me. And I just kept breaking out of them. And at one point he just like looked at the coach and he's like, what the F, you know, cause I would let him get a move and then I would just break out of it, or I'd bust him free, or I'd break his grip. And so I started kind of realizing then, like, wow, you know, weight training, I might not be the most advanced wrestler on the team, but because I have this added strength, it's giving me my own competitive edge.
What about Captain America? For a while, you had heard that Marvel was turning Captain America, the comic book character, onto the big screen in the Marvel universe. And you were making this campaign in your video blogs and on the internet to be cast as Captain America. But at the time you pronounced it as Captain America.
Oh yeah. Erica always busts my balls for saying Erica instead of Erica.
What do you remember those feelings that you had back then? You were so in love with the idea of being cast as Captain America. You were dressing up as Captain America for Halloween. You had a shield next to your desk that you would kiss every night.
I still have it in my game room too.
Oh,
I always did want to get into acting. That's part of the reason why I moved to New York City after the real world. But in order to be a successful actor, you have to go all in. You have to be doing it every single day. probably have to, you know, more than likely want to live in California versus anywhere else in the country, because that's where all the jobs are coming from. That's where the casting directings are. That's where all the connections are being made. And, you know, it was a struggle for me, because I had my online business, and the rational side of me kept saying, you know, hey, you want this, you want this, you want this. But at the same time, you know, you're also building a successful business, which can last you your entire life as well. And so it was, you know, Chet was living out in California at the time, and he's like, come out here, come out here, come out here. And I couldn't, as much as I wanted to, I couldn't bring myself to do it, because I felt like what I was doing was helping so many people, you know, online, getting in shape, bettering themselves, bettering their bodies. And I was doing kind of something I've wanted to do my entire life, which was teaching fitness to the world. And so, you know, I put the idea out there, the thought out there, and if something came of it, I would have definitely seized the opportunity. But I know in my heart that helping people and building my YouTube channel, my website, was a lot more important to me than just being on the big screen.
What'd you make of Chris Evans' portrayal of Captain America?
Oh, I think they definitely picked the right guy for the job, 100%.
Did he have the best ass for the job? Did he have America's ass?
Definitely had America's ass, that's for sure.
Do you think that really was his ass, or was it a CGI-enhanced ass?
No, I'm pretty sure that was his. The only butt double was Brie Larson's.
Oh, yeah?
Oh, you guys didn't know about that?
No, tell me.
Oh, I did a whole video about it, because everyone was saying how they hired a butt double for her. And then she started putting out these videos of her like hip thrusting 405 pounds. And then like she was pushing a Jeep like by her back against it. And she was pushing it like across the parking lot and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I made a video and I was like, listen, there's evidence, obviously, that they hired a butt double. There was a casting call. You can see her on set. And the fact that you can push a vehicle, like my sister can push a vehicle. She doesn't work out all the time. Like it's not, once you get it moving, it's cool. Mm-hmm. And then the hip, the 405 hip thrust she was doing was terrible form. And like, it's not really that difficult to do if you know how to throw the weight around. Mm. And then her trainer was like standing above her as if he was going to spot the weight. Like mm-hmm. he was going to curl 405, which I thought was equally as dumb. But at the end of the day, I said in the video, I was like, listen, I'm like, if you want to build a butt, I go, the reason why I know for a fact that you're having a hard time is because based on all the things you've shown and the exercises your trainer is having you do, you're not progressively overloading. You're not fully hyperextending your hips. You're not getting the proper glute activation from the exercises because your trainer isn't having you do the correct form cues in order to do that. And then I even said in my video, I'm like, listen, we all have, areas of our body that need work. For me, it's my traps and calves. You know, you just got to own it, and then don't be embarrassed and try to cover it up, because that just makes you look dumb. I'd be like, yeah, we hired a butt double, who cares, moving on. I feel like if you like, I started a new series on Instagram called Insta Garbage. I actually called out this girl, Brie Baby, because she has a program she sells on how to build a big butt, because her whole Instagram is basically her butt, you know, and showing how big her butt is. And the reason why I called her out is because I was at Universal Studios and this girl ran up to me and she was like, are you Scott? I was like, yeah. She goes, oh my God, my boyfriend is your biggest fan. He's over there in line getting us pizza. Can you come over and say hi? So like, yeah, sure. And so then I'm talking to them and then I'm asking how they met. And they said they met at the gym. And then the girl was telling me how her boyfriend redid her whole program because she was following this booty routine and she was getting zero results and she was feeling tired all the time and she thought it was her. And then the boyfriend looked at the routine and realized that it was garbage. And then I was like, well, can you send it to me? And basically it was your typical butt routine where you do like five or six different exercises, the zero overloading, and it's all fluff, high volume, you know, 12, 15 repetitions, 20 repetitions per exercise. And it's one of those training programs where the trainer literally just like takes all the exercises they know and then puts them in order for you to do them, which happens a lot at the gym. And so I called the chick out on it and I made a lot of very valid points in my video. I even compared her to other girls that put out butt programs that actually work. And so she did like three posts about me on her Instagram and wrote like storybooks in each post about how, you know, she came from, you know, where she came from and how she grew her butt over the last 2 years and blah, 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 blah. Basically making herself look more guilty by playing such the role as a victim. And I was like, just own it. Like, just take the constructive criticism, because no matter how much you complain, like, you still cannot build muscle without overloading, progressive overload, and doing the right exercises, period.
What do you mean by progressive overload?
There's three muscle building mechanisms. There's mechanical tension, metabolic stress, and muscle damage. Mechanical tension would be like if you're benching, you know, you start off with 8 reps, you know, then you raise the weight, and then maybe you do 6 to 7 reps, then you raise the weight again, and maybe do 5 to 6 reps. So that's overload. You have to overload the muscle for stimulation. And also, as you're lifting heavier weights, you're forcing much hotter muscle fiber contractions, which will result in more microfiber tears in the muscle tissue, which is going to lead to growth. Now, if you're constantly just doing 10 reps, 12 reps, 15 repetitions, you're going to feel amazing because you're going to feel the pump. But the pump doesn't mean your muscles are breaking down and growing to their, you know, as best they can. The pump just means you've exercised and now there's more blood in the area. That's why the pump feels so good. So glorified pump workouts feel good and they give the feeling that maybe you're growing, but once the pump is gone, you shrink right back down to normal. And you can get results doing high volume workouts like 10 reps, 12 reps. But anybody who's done them for a period of time will tell you that you quickly plateau. And then you think that the workout is wrong and you keep changing the workouts. But if you keep changing to other workouts that only involve 10, 12 repetitions per exercise, you're never gonna make any gains. You could take the same workout and adjust the rep structure where, let's say you're doing 5 sets of bench press. Maybe you want to start out at 12 just to kind of get warmed up. And then you do 10, 8, 8, 6, 6, right? Mm-hmm. Now you've taken the same workout, but you've forced yourself to overload more by adding weight and decreasing the repetitions.
And so it's the muscle tearing. That's the thing that's going to cause the growth. So if you're not hurting like the next day or the day after and feeling like you really tore your shit up, you're not growing.
Yeah. Yes and no. Like, you don't necessarily have to be sore to the touch. In the beginning, when you first start training, like when you're sore, you'll know it. But as you become a bit more advanced athlete, you're still going to feel sore, but you're not going to feel like you did when you first started training, if that makes sense. Because your body is obviously, as the muscles get in the beginning, the muscles are so weak, you know, in comparison to you after 3 months of training. So obviously there's a lot more muscle fiber breakdown happening. And then as you plateau, it gets harder to get as much of that breakdown as you got in the beginning. Because why? Because now your muscles are stronger. That's why people tend to plateau and then tend to get stuck, because they don't understand, you know, why aren't I growing like I did in the beginning? Well, you're a lot stronger now than you were 3 months ago. So you need to do things to adequately increase the intensity of your workout, because now you are a stronger person. You are a stronger version of yourself. So that same workout isn't going to cut it.
Back to Captain America, like when you saw the first Marvel film on the big screen and you saw that transformation that Chris Evans goes CGI to make him look tiny, and then they stick him in the capsule and inject him with Vita rays.
Yeah.
You know, what was going on in your head when you saw that scene brought to life? Because it's such an iconic scene in comic book history. And for a lot of bodybuilders, it's a scene that really inspired them to get into the gym.
Well, what I like best about that whole process is what the doctor tells him. He's like, you know, it doesn't just amplify your body. It's going to amplify you as like all your inner like morals, values, all those things amplified too. So if you're a good person, it'll make you a better person. If you're evil, it's going to make you more evil. And I feel like that's kind of the path that I took. I didn't want to get bigger just to be bigger. I wanted to be bigger so that I could do more good. Does that make sense? So it was a very relatable scene to me.
Yeah. And you've said that many times before. And I always felt like when I actually saw that in the big screen, I was like, that's such an important message to throw out there. And for a lot of people who get into fitness programs, it is about not just, you know, improving your body. It's about improving you as a person in your life.
Yeah. And that's why I get so frustrated with, and that's why I started my Insta Garbage series on YouTube. I actually get a video I'm posting today, you know, and I'm calling this kid out because he posted a video and he's training with an IFBB pro, which in my opinion, 99.99% of IFBB pros are not natural, or else they wouldn't win, but you wouldn't even place. It's just the way it is. And it's not to say that what they're doing is bad, because it's a personal decision and it's part of the sport. But at the end of the day, if you're going to put out a workout, that, and like, for example, like, yeah, you might be an IFBB pro, the workout might work for you, but if you're going to put it online and label it how to get big arms, and you realize that the majority of your audience is natural and that workout will not work for them, I think it's bullshit. It's like, you know, and that's the problem with Instagram now, is people just run out of ideas. So they're like, oh, I got to do an Instagram post today. Oh, let's do a bicep workout. Let me grab 6 bicep exercises and then just say, do 4 sets of 12 reps. Because that's what they all do. And it's like, this will not work for anyone. And that just rubs me the wrong way, because there's no integrity behind the content that's being created. It's all bullshit and lies.
I really like the stuff that Instagram does that pisses you off. And part of it is, you know, it is fun to see these godlike men and women get knocked down a peg by,
because they're so full of themselves, it seems like, you know, and you just
and that's why they do it, because they do it because they want the attention. They're not doing it to help their subscribers. They just want to see the likes and comments.
That's the red skull for you, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly. And
it's misinformation.
And you know, it's like, people love the series so much because it's exactly how they feel. And it's almost like now they're unsure if they feel the way they feel because maybe they're just not doing the workouts correctly, or maybe the workout is bullshit, but they don't really know. But once I call it out and they feel validated, then that's why they're like, yes, finally, somebody has the balls to say something. Like, what's going to happen? Am I going to go to a fitness show and one of these dudes is going to come up to me and try to fight me? Like, no, they're not going to do anything, because they know they're full of shit. And if they get in my face, I'm like, listen, dude, I go, this has nothing to do with you as a person. It's just has to do with you as an entrepreneur, and you're trying to sell shit to kids, and you're trying to sell these programs that you know will not work, but you're doing it for likes and comments on your videos. And if you can justify that to me, fine, I'll apologize. I go, but I'm not going to get into a shit spit fight with you because I hurt your feelings, because that's business, bro. Okay. Because if you think about it this way, for me, fitness is a business. So if I got these people coming out with all this bogus information, they're stealing my community members. They're stealing fans that should be watching my content that's actually going to help them. So it's like, of course I'm going to attack back, because you're not only doing a disservice to the people watching your videos, but technically you're taking money out of my pocket.
Welcome to my world. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, when you're a pioneer in something, you're also inviting for the rest of your life to be cloned to death. And I've seen so many Scott Herman clones in the world that I'm wondering, who's the real Scott Herman anymore? There's a lot of money to be made in fitness, but also there's money to be made keeping people in the dark.
Oh, 100%. And that's why I called out the booty girl.
Yeah.
Because it looked to me, in my opinion, it looked like she got some ass injections, because her ass jiggles when she does every exercise. And it's like, if that ass was muscle, because she's like, I built my butt up over the last 2 years. And some of her fans reached out to me to, like, I saw her butt grow over the last 2 years. I'm like, okay, well, if her butt grew, then it should be muscle. And that muscle should be contracting when she's doing these exercises. I've never seen a butt jiggle doing a hamstring curl. Like, the muscle should be flexing.
There's this guy, Wayne's Workout World on Instagram. He has probably the best gluteuses I've ever seen on a man. And if you look at that, you'd go gay for him, Scott.
Nice. Gotta go gay every once in a while, Fausto.
He is very, it is a legendary.
What I
ass.
Love is, like, when he's doing something, you actually see it's like that actual muscle just rises up above, like, whatever little fat he has there, and just kind of like, boom.
And part of it is, I think, the value of watching. And I think, you know, people ask you this question all the time. It's like, why are you shirtless? Because the ability to see that muscle contract, it starts to ignite the mind muscle connection. And so when you're exercising in the gym and you're thinking about, you know, like, my squats have improved ever since I start seeing Wayne's butt, even though this is beautiful, erotic, gorgeous, muscular ass, he also trains it very effectively. And so you're like, oh, right, we have to squeeze the ass when you're going down in order to trigger it, to activate that muscle. And so seeing people, you know, and this is, the, I think, the complicated nature of doing fitness videos. And for you is that, you know, it's a technical aspect to show your body while you're exercising in a video. And at the same time, people are going to dismiss you because they're like, well, that's just another, you know, homoerotic in disguise muscle worship video or whatever.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, to get back to the part, you know, where like IFBB pros and competitors and stuff, because I don't want people to think that I think that all pros are selling snake oil, because they're definitely not. And, you know, even me as a kid, I was like everybody else. I was inspired by Arnold and his physique. But I mean, I knew obviously he wasn't natural, but at the same time, I was so impressed by him because like I read a book, an autobiography on him about his training, and he would literally squat until he passed out, and then he would wake up and start squatting again. Like to me, like, holy shit, like that is some hardcore training, you know, and that's what I wanted to be like. I wanted to be able to train with that same mentality of, you know, push my limits. And it didn't matter to me that he wasn't natural, because that wasn't the reason why I admired him. I thought he looked phenomenal. I knew I would never look like that unless I went down that path. But I also knew that I could adopt his training principles and apply those to my life and become the best version of myself.
Is it hard to do what you do? Because I imagine sometimes it can get really lonely.
What do you mean?
It's in the sense that you're like, you know, training long hours. I mean, usually your workout's about 2 or 3 hours long, and you're, you know, for most of your day, your gym is at home and you're making these videos, and sort of you're talking to your audience through the camera. And, you know, you do get to spend a couple of hours at night with your wife, but you know, I think people don't realize the sacrifices that sometimes are made in pursuing a bodybuilding or a fitness career.
I'll tell you what. I mean, I have my camera guy, Ricky, who helps me with my filming and does my editing. So that's taken a big burden off of me. And then I'll 9 times out of 10, I'll actually go to the gym at night. I go to LA Fitness. And
people are like, oh my God, it's Scott Herman. Take my picture. Oh,
dude, like I have so many fans that go to this gym, and I'm always so impressed that I don't know if impressed is the right word, but like they have no reserves about coming up to me. And I think it's because I've always done such a good job on camera and interviews and events, just showing how personable I am, that they know if they come over and say hello, they're not going to get rejected. You know, not going to get shushed or pushed away. And that really means a lot to me. And a lot of my fans in the gym that come up to me, I'm always like, yeah, they're like, are you Scott? Like, yeah, what's up, man? Whatever. You know, they tell me how they watch my videos and, you know, what's helped them. And I'm always like, listen, if you ever need any help, or if you need some advice on, you know, something you're trying to do, just, and I'm here, just come over and grab me, dude. Like, don't feel like you're bothering me.
Do you have anybody like trying to hit on you or like make romantic advances?
No, well, at least not that I know of. I'm pretty oblivious to that kind of stuff, because whenever I'm in a relationship, it's like, I just don't even, my mind doesn't even go there. You know, I just think people are being nice to me.
Well, you have a silicone wedding ring, I noticed.
Yeah. So I have my nice Cartier I wear, you know, when I'm not at the gym. And then when I go to the gym, I put on my silicone wedding ring. I mean,
because a lot of guys, I tell people, young people today, is like, you know, if you want a wedding ring, by all means do it. But there, you know, put your money into a home, or, you know, a good vacation or an experience with your loved one. The wedding rings to me is like, it's a lot of, and I've seen a lot of people at the gym working out with metal rings on their fingers. And I'm like, that's a liability.
Well, I mean,
Is it really?
I'll tell you from firsthand experience, the most horrible thing I've ever seen in a gym was a man who slammed his dumbbells on top.
First of all, he's slamming dumbbells.
He's slamming dumbbells. You shouldn't do that. Next to dumbbells he didn't pick up out. And guess what happened with his wedding ring finger? It popped off like a cork. So his fingers on the floor, there's a pool of blood, and he's running out with picked up his finger, and there's a trail of blood going out the gym. And I was like, I will never forget that. And so moral of the story,
oh my God, you saw this in real life,
in real time. And I was thinking, I was like, that's not going to end well. And
he must have had a really tight friggin' wedding ring then. Holy crap.
It popped off like a cork, you know, because the handle landed right perfectly on the weight, and it just popped off. And I was just thinking, I was like, the moral of the story is here, please re-rack your weights.
You know?
Or lose a finger.
Well, that's why I also wear my silicone ring in the gym, because I'm not going to destroy my beautiful wedding ring, you know, but just, I actually have a little rack on my bathroom countertop that has all my perfume and crap on it, or a cologne. And then on the left side is a little holder for my wedding band, and the right side is a holder for my gym wedding band. And I just switch it when I go to the gym.
Or sometimes you accidentally leave both at home. Just kidding.
Honestly, though, I actually did that this week, and it feels weird not having it on.
Oh, tell me about Erica. Now, you guys met sort of, you know, in the height of your fame and you know, visibility. Erica Stibich, your wife.
Yeah, yeah, yep.
I was really worried because for a while I was like, Erica's, you know, I was looking at Erica's Instagram and I was like, I'm living in Miami now. And, you know, and I was like, oh, they broke up. That's terrible. They loved each other so much. No, you guys got married.
Yeah, we got married. We actually did what you said. You know, we didn't do a big wedding because we wanted to put a down payment on a house. So we had a small wedding and did our vows at the local office where you do that. And then I'm like, listen, I'd rather buy us a house. And so we bought our first house together in New Hampshire. And we were up there in that house for about 3 years, I think. And then, you know, she's Brazilian. She was getting sick of the cold. I was getting sick of the cold. And, you know, a lot of my friends didn't really go to the gym anymore. And filming was getting to be a pain in the ass because I had to always drive to my studio, heat it up and all that. And then we made the decision 2 years ago to move down here to Florida and try to get our life to be a bit more structured so that we can get work done and still have more time to spend together. And honestly, like, it really sucked a lot doing that move, going from New Hampshire to Florida.
Yeah.
The only thing that didn't suck was driving the Camaro down. That was a lot of fun. But
your baby, you call it.
Jane, drove Jane down. That was a lot of fun, but the initial move and all the money it cost, like, it's expensive as hell to move. Like, just to move my gym equipment was like, I don't know, like almost $5,000, because you have to put it all in like this big container and ship it down. And it was crazy, man.
That sounds heavy, right?
Yeah, it's heavy. And it was very stressful. And then once we got down here, I don't know if you guys know much about Florida construction, but you know, we were supposed to move in August, and our house didn't get done till December of last year. And I was at the house almost every single day for 2 months, just cracking the whip so much. They thought that I was the new foreman. They didn't even know it was my house until like the end when it's crazy just how lazy people are down here and the shitty craftsmanship with some of these companies. You know, we had no idea that it's the whole community where we live is built by the same people. And as I talked to my neighbors, they all had all the same issues. But, you know, we went to hell and back, and now we're happier than ever. So, you know, it's like anything in life. You know, you take a big risk, you go through hell, and if you can persevere, it's usually you come out on the other end, you know, a lot happier and better off. Cause I know right now, if I was still back in New Hampshire and I was still paying, you know, a separate rent fee for my gym and having to go back and forth and staying in the same area, granted, I'd be able to see my family more often, but I feel like business wise, I wouldn't be able to take that next step like I am down here.
I imagine that when you travel and tour, you run into a lot of gyms that are just like poorly managed or poorly run. Does that bother you sometimes? Like, I know it bothers me when I see a gym that doesn't have a very vital piece of equipment or doesn't clean up after itself, or, you know, charges way too much money for what they're providing for people.
I'd say that's what bothers me the most, is when I want to go in for like a day and they want to charge me $20. I'm like, you guys out of your freaking mind?
Because the gyms in Miami are that way. Yeah,
dude. Like when I was the general manager at my gym, and like people would travel or kids were home from college or whatever, I'd be like, listen, just buy a protein shake on your way out. Go have fun.
That should be the way to release. You know,
yeah, just buy a protein shake on the way out.
Especially if they look like they work out, you know, if they're there to do some serious business, you know,
let them do their thing. I want, you know, they're going to be like, oh man, dude, I went to that gym and they just told me to buy a protein shake on the way out. Oh, I want to go there and check that place. People don't think about the repercussions of being an asshole at the front desk, because the front desk is your first experience. Like, if you're not smiling and happy greeting every single person, like, I mean, I knew everybody's name at my gym at that point. And it's like, hey, Scott, you know, I got some family in town. All right, bring them in. That's why I like my gym so much. That I go to, the general manager luckily was a big fan of mine. And, you know, we got me signed up, and he's like, yeah, if you ever need to bring anybody here, family's visiting, or even my camera guy, like he lets my camera guy in for free all the time. Granted, I pay for my wife's membership and my daughter's membership and they barely go, so I guess it kind of evens out, but he would let them in anyways. And he's like, yeah, dude, just like, we actually did a member appreciation day yesterday, and I brought tons and tons of BSN supplements to give out to the members. So I like being able to have like a real relationship with a gym and a general manager, where they get that, like, hey, I've been on your side of the plate. I know what expectations you have. But I also know what to expect as a member coming in and how I want to be treated. So I really like that. So I would say the front desk experience bothers, because in the gym, I'm creative. I can get things done. So missing vital equipment isn't so bad. It's just walking in and like, all right, how much are these assholes going to charge me to work out for an hour? You know,
do you have any tips for sweet talking them into letting you in for free or to anything?
Just play like a little dumb, be like, hey, you know, I'm here for like, you know, a week and I really need to lift, but I'm worried about, you know, spending too much money at these other gyms. Like, you just gotta, hey, or like, hey, how's your day go? Like, even when I go to like get food, I go to Panda Express. As soon as I walk in, I'm like, hey, how's your day? You know, how you doing? How's work today? I always get more chicken that way.
Yeah. Amen. Being nice always helps. But, you know, I also find too is like, you know, even if you do have to pay at the gym and it is money, it's, you know, if you're on vacation, if you're traveling, it's just like, okay, so you have to pay 10, 15, 20 bucks sometimes. It's like, you know, it's a lot cheaper than going out to a bar. That's for sure.
That is true.
You know,
what three really important concepts of your videos, because you know, I've watched your videos for over a decade now, and I think the one concept that you taught me and other people early on was the value of a drop set.
Yeah, drop sets are great. I actually was going to make a video today talking about drop sets.
And the other one was just, you know, you do some really great abdominal routines. But one video that I keep turning back to that I share with everybody, whoever has an injury, is your no weight flexing workout video.
Oh, yeah.
I think that's really probably old. The most important video you've ever made, because that video shows people that the point of growing muscle or lifting exercise is to use it. And flexing is such a wonderful way to trigger, to keep that muscle activated when you have an injury, because all you're doing is you're flexing that muscle with your body.
Yeah. And actually intraflexing during training can be beneficial as well.
Mm-hmm. And I feel like not enough people have that message out there. You're the only person I've ever in my entire life said that, you know, and very, very few workout videos emphasize that, because it's such a deceptively simple, very Zen, very yoga, very Buddhist concept is, you know, sometimes the best workout is done with no weight at all.
Yeah. I mean, you're definitely not going to grow obviously super big, but if you are limited or you have an injury or you're trying to improve your muscle connection, that's the kind of stuff that's really going to help you, and you can do it anywhere. So if you're stuck at home and you're like, yeah, I can't really make it to the gym, but I can do some controlled flexing and releasing of my biceps or my legs or, you know, even your chest or your back, it's like, it's still better than nothing. And it's still going to activate the area and get some stimulation.
Scott, you kind of remind me, you're so wholesome and so kind and so generous. And in a lot of ways, you remind me of Mr. Rogers to some degree.
If he was a
fitness coach or a bodybuilder, you know, and part of it is like you're not just transforming people's bodies, you're transforming their lives.
I appreciate that. You know, even at my gym, I feel like a lot of the younger guys in my gym, they come up to me for advice. And I feel like people really gravitate towards that, like blunt, Boston, like the way we are up north, East Coast. Like we say what we gotta say. It doesn't bother me if feelings get hurt. For example, if I see my guy that I met, I just started training this kid. He's 21. He's very, very thin. And I met him because he was benching. I actually put out a video last week. And I was like, hey man, I was like, you want to bench with me? Cause I need a bench and yours is available. It's only you on it. So he's like, yeah, whatever. I was busting his balls because I had seen him before. And then I asked him, I'm like, so what are you doing for your workout? And he goes, well, I've never benched before. And a trainer told me that I need to max out to find my working weight. And he's like, how do I do that? And I was like, well, if you've never worked out before and you want to kill yourself, then by all means, that's what you should do. He's like, what? And I just started talking to him. Like, whatever trainer told you that is ridiculous, because if you're trying to max out on bench and you've never benched before, more than likely you don't have proper form and you're going to end up blowing out your shoulders because you're going to be lifting way too much weight. And then I just started teaching him the basics of how to bench press. And then I pulled him into my workout routine and he was very receptive because I was just real with him, you know, and being real and blunt, I feel like goes a lot further with people because it cuts through the bullshit. And then they feel like it almost creates this atmosphere where the person feels like they can be real with you because you're being real with them.
But you don't go for personal attacks. Like you could have said to them, like, boy, are you stupid to be gullible like that? You know? And part of it is it's you're being very matter of fact as opposed to, you know, and I think in terms of there's a temptation when you see somebody doing an exercise wrong or they're set on a certain approach to fitness is to get into a personal attack or into an argument with them.
Yeah. You know, you're 100% right, Fausto. And I remember this one guy was benching and he was doing half reps on the bench. Mm-hmm. And so I was watching him. And so when he was done, I said, hey, instead of like obviously being a jerk because he was doing half reps, I was like, are you working on the lockout? Like, do you need a spot? And because when you work on the lockout, you're doing a half rep. You know, you go halfway down and press up to work on the lockout. And he smiled and he just was like, no. He's like, I should probably lower the weight, huh? I was like, well, if you're not working on the lockout, then yeah. But you know, and it was like this funny thing where you know, I was just, instead of assuming that he was doing it wrong, I was like, oh, maybe he's working on the lockout. So I was like, are you working on the lockout? Do you need a spot? He's like, no, I need to lower the weight and do it right. I was like, yeah, that's true.
I don't know. I'm always like, don't lock your elbows when you're benching or your knees when you're squat. It's like there's certain things. And I part of me is like, I get a visceral reaction that I'm just like, oh my God, this person's going to get hurt because I've gotten hurt and I know how painful that feels. And when I see somebody in that situation, I want to reach out to them. And part of me like gets really frustrated because they're just like, thanks a lot, asshole.
Yeah, they just want you to leave them alone.
And you're like, oh, my God, this poor person's going to wind up in a hospital. You know,
I mean, the only time I don't walk out is on the leg press because unless my feet are high, because I've seen some videos of some people touching their nose with their toes because they locked out their knees and their knees bent the wrong way.
Oh, no. Ow, ow. Yeah. And then some people love those videos on YouTube.
I can't watch them. I saw it by accident and I ran. I just ran away.
It'll ruin my workout the next day because it'll like be haunting me in my brain. And I'm just like, then I get anxious about injuring myself in any kind of capacity.
Yeah, man, scary. You're moving heavy weight. You gotta be careful.
Have you gotten injured in the past decade?
I've only injured my left bicep. I strained it lifting an Atlas stone, and I already had the stone up, and it was the stone was slippery, and when I readjusted my hands just because of the position I was in, I just like strained all the muscles, like from my shoulder to down my bicep, my chest. And it took me a while. Like, I couldn't even hammer curl like 5 pounds without it hurting. And I had to actually do a lot of release work on my back and my chest to get my bicep to release. I actually made a video about it. It's called, like, if you type in like Scott Herman bicep pain, it'll pop up. But if you're having pain in your shoulder or in your arm, or if you're, even if you get like tennis elbow, the release work that I do in that video can help try to alleviate a lot of that pain.
What do you mean by release work?
So a lot of time, like people always complain about tennis elbow. I'm like, well, first of all, you don't play tennis. second of all, a lot of times when you have pain in your elbows, it's compound. It's basically compounding from all the other tight areas in your body. You could have tight hips, tight back, tight chest, tight shoulders, and all that tightness is just kind of compounding and pulling on your elbow. Like it's called anatomy trains. Mm. So if you actually did some release work where you kind of, you know, massage out your chest and your back, your shoulders, your rhomboids, and you like get in there real deep with like a lacrosse ball or a Theragun or something, and you just kind of get all the tightness out, you'll notice that your elbow pain will start to go away. Because a lot of times when you feel pain, especially the elbows, like you rub your elbow trying to make it feel better, but it's only hurting there because of all the other tightness in your body.
Everybody at home is right now like massaging themselves.
I'm like touching myself. I'm like, oh, okay. Cause I've had tennis elbow, even though I don't play tennis.
I mean, put two fingers, put like your middle finger and your pointer finger on your sternum.
Okay.
And then push through your chest to your shoulder and tell me how much that hurts. You can feel the tension.
It feels good, actually.
It feels great, but like you can feel the tension, right?
Yeah. So
like, when's the last time you ever had that massaged out? You know, all that tension in your chest. Your chest is a big muscle. All that tension from your pectoralis major pulling on your shoulder and off your sternum, and you know that's pulling on your back, which in turn is pulling on your shoulder, which is pulling on your tendons that go across your elbow. It's all connected.
The most important video besides those is the myofascial release or foam rolling.
Oh my God,
that is like, you know, how did we live without foam rolling beforehand? Because that's not something people used to do in the past.
No way. I have to foam roll on leg day. My legs just get so tight from sitting all the time.
Before or after you work out?
I usually foam roll before squatting and then in between all my sets as well. That's another thing a lot of people don't realize is, like, you should be foam rolling in between your sets, because as the muscle gets warm, it's going to be easier to foam roll and get it to loosen up a bit more.
Oh, that's a good idea. You know, what is it? Intra workout stretching and myofascial release.
Yeah. Like if your legs hurt when you squat, like do a warm up set or foam roll your leg, like hip, the IT band, quad, glute, hamstring, both sides. And then do a set, and then do it again, and do a set, and do it again. And then by like your third set, you're going to feel like super strong. You'd be like, holy crap, I'm zero pain and I'm lifting heavy ass weight. This is awesome.
Scott, thank you so much for all that you do. And I'm so happy that you 2.5 million subscribers. You're one of the most followed, one of the most celebrated fitness personalities. You've inspired a generation of young men and women to embrace LGBTQ people, and you've helped transform not just bodies, but hearts and minds.
Well, I appreciate that, you know, and I never did what I did for attention. I did it because I wanted to help people. And I feel like people really saw that and resonated with that. And as successful as I am, I owe it to even people like you guys, you know, who support me, you know, and it means a lot to have that support and to have basically no barriers, just to get along as human beings. It means a lot.
Mm. Well, it's easy when it comes from you.
Oh,
appreciate that. Thank you.
You know, it's like it's when an attractive, intelligent, well-spoken, muscular, young, vibrant person tells you something, you're more likely to listen, even if it's you know, even if the same exact message was said by somebody else.
Mm. Ain't that the truth?
So, where are you going into the future? You know, like, are you going to start developing, you know, certain equipment like Jack LaLanne. You know, the Smith machine was invented by Jack LaLanne, who was kind of, he was the you of the 1950s.
Yeah. Well, to be honest, my biggest thing right now is my app for my site, Muscular Strengths. Uh-huh. Cause my website basically functions as like a fitness version of Facebook, where you have all the content, all the programs, but there's also a social media aspect to it where you can friend people and message people. There's forums that you can get engaged with. And we actually have a huge update coming to the app this week. That's going to really bring a lot of that social aspect, to the app. Cause right now the majority of it's on the PC version, but right now on the app, you can access all my programs. Cause I don't sell my programs as one-offs for like hundreds of dollars. I just charge $10 a month and you have access to all my programs on my site, my muscle building and my fat loss. Cause my goal is to get as many people on the app as possible, trying different programs, using my custom meal planner. And then I'm actually starting to work with other athletes that are creating great content and then getting their programs and their articles and their content on my site as well. And basically creating this hub where you can open up the app. If you want to try a different program, there's a bunch to choose from. I have thousands of articles on all different kinds of subjects that you can go to in the app. Be like, I want to look up chest, you know, and I'll pull up all the articles on how to build a big chest or squat form, deadlift form, eating correctly, calories in versus calories out, pretty much any topic you can think of. And what I also do is, any YouTube video I create, because I do a lot of teaching, I put that video in article form on my site so that if you don't have time to rewatch an entire video, but you're like, ah, there was a tip or an exercise in that video that I want to try today, but I don't have time to sit here and find it. You just open up the article version and then you can just see the photos from the video and then the explanations and you're good to go, which I think is very helpful.
Mm.
That is fantastic. Scott, thank you so much for taking time out of your busy day. I know you're like doing a million things. It's always great to reconnect with you. I remember when you were here in Chicago one time and you were having your own meet and greet and we had been hired to host a, what was that event was it called?
Twister?
It was like a stripper nude Twister or something. Like,
oh yeah.
You were here during market days.
Market days. Yeah.
And so we were like, not able to, like, we were only able to like talk and hang out for like 5 seconds.
Yeah, no, it was very quick. And back then, like, so much has changed. My website then was even Scott Herman Fitness. Now it's Muscular Strength.
You took your name out of the branding.
Yeah, because I wanted people to feel like they were a part of something bigger versus being underneath my umbrella. Like,
well, and one day you'll retire and hopefully you can sell that to somebody else.
Yeah, exactly. So just make sure everybody knows it's Muscular Strength, not Scott Herman Fitness for the app and the website.
Okay, I'll connect to that. We'll give Erica our best and I wish you well in the future. And I'm glad you guys are having a good time down in Florida.
Stay away from those hurricanes.
Oh, I know. Well, if you guys ever come down and go to Universal or Disney, hit me up because I'm like 15 minutes away. So we can maybe have a proper drink.
All right.
Oh, can we stay at your place?
Yeah, hit me up, man. Yeah, exactly. It's like a mini resort. I'll charge you a real low fee.
All right. I'll buy a workout. What is that? Protein shake on my way out.
Yeah, buy a protein shake on your way out. You're good.
Take care, man. My friend.
Bye, Scott.
Thank you, guys. Always a pleasure.
Uh-huh. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
All right. See you.
Scott Herman lives in Winter Garden, Florida, just 15 minutes away from Disney World.
Ooh, and Universal.
Yes.
I want to go to Harry Potter World.
Yes, and play with his wand. Make some magic happen,
some
people.
Beer butter. Butter,
yeah,
beer.
Butter beer. You can, of course, check out Scott Herman's videos on YouTube, Scott Herman Fitness, and go to his website where you can read the articles at muscularstrength.com and download his app.
He's such a sweet guy.
He is the real Captain America. Aww. You know, in some ways. It's funny because he always describes himself as being blunt or tough love. But there's nothing tough about him in some ways. He's a very gentle, very caring, very, just a very good person. Mm-hmm. And part of me, you know, it's like, it's, we're so used to sort of being misled or misinformed by, especially fitness people. I mean, God, you know, there's so much bad information in the world. And I think, you know, like anytime I run into somebody who's young and muscular, they always say to me, it's like, yeah, I learned how to lift because of watching Scott Herman's videos.
Mm.
And for a whole generation of people who grew up with YouTube, Scott Herman is somebody who, like Jack LaLanne in the 1950s, inspired a whole generation of people to exercise, to improve their lives, to move and eat better and move better. And so, you know, his contributions to fitness is legendary, honey. Legendary.
It was really great to reconnect with him after all these years.
A decade.
I hope people are enjoying these Where Are They Now episodes.
Where are they now? Fitness style. Yes. Woo! Mm-hmm. Soon we're going to be talking to trans pioneer, fitness pioneer and bodybuilder Paulo Batista, who, along with Craig Ramsey, who's one of the few openly gay fitness bodybuilding muscle personalities on the internet, they're doing a series called He's Fit, where they sort of celebrate Paulo's muscular, beautiful trans male body and talk about his workout regimen and plans and all that good stuff.
Mm.
You know, the thing about it is, and does show that sometimes we have a little bit ways to go, is that there's a lot of LGBTQ ally fitness and bodybuilding people, but there's very few openly gay or openly trans or lesbian fitness and muscle personalities. And you know, and like Mark and I, we went to the Arnold Fitness Expo. We're going to be posting more videos on our YouTube channel, youtube.com/feastoffun. It's not Scott Herman's fitness videos, but you know, you can learn a thing or two
from these daddies.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm holding my own these days.
Well, that's the thing. I was looking at photos of us with Scott Herman a decade ago and today, and like looking, and you know, it's like when you work out, it is really a fountain of youth, because it is about keeping your blood moving and keeping you circulating and keeping your tissues healthy. And you know, people ask us, like, what is our secret? And I think, well, I'm Latino, so I love to nap. And I think napping is a highly underrated wellness technique.
Without a doubt.
But I think, you know, weightlifting is something that, especially for women, has been something that's very overlooked. As, you know, women, I mean, God, so many people, I come from Latin American culture, too. Everyone's, like, focused on their diet. It's always like, oh, I got to lose some weight because Christmas is coming, or I got to lose some weight because I'm going to the beach and stuff. And I'm just like, don't think of it as losing weight. Think of it as like, I want to eat the best and healthiest foods possible. So one thing I'm starting to do on our Patreon channel, patreon.com/feastoffun, is posting some of my favorite wellness and healthy recipes, because a lot of people ask me about my legendary kale chickpea almond salad, or my my turkey curry. Ooh, that's so good. And some of my other
recipes. Your meal prep if you want to lose weight. I think, you know, not only it's you're getting your calories right and your macros and all that kind of stuff too, but it relieves a lot of anxiety, because you're not like worried about making stuff and the stress of it. You're just like, it's done. I have food. I'm not stressed out about it.
And that's the thing that bothers me sometimes of a lot of these. You know, I'm not sure if this is true for Scott, but for other meal prep apps and websites, they tell you what to eat, but it's like a quarter of an ounce of chicken breast and one cup of rice and broccoli. And you're like, is there a sauce? Is there a seasoning? And you look at some of these bodybuilders and they're literally like eating just like poached chicken breast and rice.
Mm-hmm.
And that's it.
Oh, so boring.
And I'm just like, oh my God, I would die.
Where's the flavor?
Where's the life? The passion? I want people to be
the
alive.
Spice.
Mark, are you alive?
I'm alive. I want to remind folks we can't do this podcast without your support. So if you're not a Plus member yet, sign up today at feastoffun.com/plus, because your contribution to the show is what makes this show happen. We wouldn't be able to talk to fantastic people like Scott after all these years. Listen, there's folks out there who supported us when we first talked to Scott like 10 years ago, and a lot of those people are still with us. So thank you so much for being there. And because of what you've contributed in the past and what you're doing today gets us into the future. Wouldn't it be great if in 10 years from now, we talk to Scott Herman when he's 45 years old.
Well, he's my age.
Yeah.
And he's like, hello, Sonny. Well, that's the thing about it is that there's thousands of people who listen to the show every day, and they rely on someone else to give a couple of dollars here or there to make the show possible. And I know that you're a good person, and I know that you love Feast of Fun, and you enjoy the programming that we do. And this is something healthy for you. This is about improving your life. If you don't treat yourself, you cheat yourself. Become a member of Feast of Fun today and access thousands of legendary shows on our website, feastoffun.com/plus. I know a lot of people's annual memberships are about to renew in the month of October. Mm-hmm. So we will be keeping an eye on that. If you have any problems mm-hmm. with your PayPal account,
yeah.
make sure that the credit card or your banking information is up to date. Mm-hmm.
So you might get a little message that says, hey, this payment has been skipped or something like that. They're having a hard time getting it. So it'll say skip once, it'll say skip twice, and then it will be suspended. And so the best way you can do is to contact, if it gets skipped the first time, contact your representative at PayPal. Just, you know, hit the little help button and tell them, hey, listen, I have an upcoming subscription. I want to make sure that it goes through. And if it doesn't go through, if it does get suspended, we can set up a new account, because your contribution is vital to making this programming happen.
And we really think of you not just as a listener, but as a friend, as a family that has been with us for so long. And for the new listeners, you guys can follow us and join in on the conversation on our Facebook group. It's a secret private group available only for people who want to be part of it. You do have to answer a quiz. The quiz question is, what is 1 + 1?
Oh, wow.
And some people got it wrong.
Do you still let them in?
No. I'm like, if you don't know what 1 + 1 equals, this is not the group for you. It's facebook.com/groups/feastoffun. You do have to say something nice about Feast of Fun. It is to continue the conversation with the people who are guests of the show, the future and past guests, and people who are passionate about the topics, the people, the ideas that come on Feast of Fun. We are a podcast pioneer. When we first started podcasting, there were very few shows. There were about 50 podcasts in the world. A year later, Apple Podcasts, back then it was called iTunes. Isn't that crazy?
Isn't that
they
weird?
Actually changed their name, like us.
We lasted used to be longer Feast of than Fools. iTunes.
We outlasted iTunes, yes.
Wow.
iTunes will no longer be anything. I think it's being ceased.
Apple Podcasts,
Apple Music.
Yeah. Apple Television.
Apple TV. Yeah. So, but anyways, when we first, after a year of podcasting, Apple, the computer company, celebrated 50 pioneering shows that helped pave the way to making podcasts a mainstream phenomenon. And at that time, podcasting was mostly people in a very solitary art form. It was people reading their blogs or creating some kind of audio equivalent of their blogs. What did you call it? It was the internet for the blind. And so we were like, but a podcast is an experience. It's like a fusion of reality television, of roundtable news conversations, of public access television. It's inviting people into your lives. It's about sharing your thoughts and experiences, and about having amazing guests where you can talk a lot longer than, you know, the average television program is only like 27 minutes long.
22 minutes for like
22
a sitcom,
minutes, yeah.
But 38 or 40 minutes for like a regular TV, like an hour long TV show. So, you know, you get a lot of hours.
And part of it is like, we're able to give you a lot because of the platform, because you guys made it possible. And certainly, you know, my secret plan overperformed so well. My dream when we started podcasting is I wanted to get people to talk to each other and to listen to each other. And we've been extraordinarily successful. Like, podcast is a huge, I mean, if you think about what was on the internet back in 2005, little of that exists today except podcasting. Podcasting and I think YouTube are the only artifacts of that day and age. And not even like the, so do you remember Friendster or MySpace? Where are they today? You know?
Mm-hmm.
And part of that was that we believed that there was something inherently powerful and beautiful about the human voice, the ability to talk to an audience unfettered, uncensored, and without any restrictions, and to make that in a way that was personable and engaging and meaningful. And we are still here all these years later because you guys made it possible. So Mark and I, we're just deeply grateful for your support, and it's and your memberships on feastoffun.com make it possible. Go to feastoffun.com/plus once again and become a member. If your membership means so much to us, it gives you access to thousands of shows, and you become the first kids on the block to see some of our new videos, new Cooking with Drag Queens, and raw footage. We're in the process of posting that on the internet right now. And you're going to see some stuff that no one has ever seen before that's being shared on our YouTube channel. But you'll be the first ones to see it at feastoffun.com/plus. So thank you so much.
Thank you so much. Bye-bye, everyone.
Bye.